Blog Talk Radio.
Well, hello everyone. Hello everyone. And welcome to Nothing But the Truth with Truth Deliverance Ministry and Pastor Katie Pierce. It is such a pleasure for us to be with you on tonight as we just kind of begin to look into some truths about God's Word. And as we already have forestated earlier, we want to talk about forgiveness. We want to talk about forgiveness. Forgiveness is something that is mandated by God that we are supposed to do. And yet in the body of Christ, we really, really have a hard time with forgiving. So we want to look at the scripture on tonight and begin to look at forgiveness and how to apply it, how to get past some offenses and things of that nature. So as we just open with the word of truth, open with the word of prayer on tonight before we go into our lesson. Hallelujah. Father God, in the name of Jesus, we come now before your sight and before your presence, O Lord God. We come, O Lord God, asking in Jesus' name, God, that you would open our eyes, that we would behold wonderful things out of your law. We pray now, Father, in the name of Jesus Christ, O Lord God, that you even would begin to just roll back every lie that we tell ourselves, every lie that's been formed in our own mindset, O Lord God. Roll back every lie and let truth come forward on tonight, God, in the name of Jesus Christ. Our desire on tonight is to be free, O Lord God. Our desire on tonight is to walk in freedom and to learn to walk in your forgiveness, Lord God. So we just pray, Father God, in the name of Jesus, that you will open our eyes to behold wonderful things out of your law. Then, O God, we pray that you will help us to apply that given word to our everyday lives, God, that you may be glorified in everything we do and everything we say, O Lord God. Be glorified, O Lord God. Our desire, O God, is to be an example of you in the earth, O God, in the name of Jesus Christ, God. So as we come, O Lord God, Holy Spirit, we release you even now to have your way. Holy Spirit, bring to the forefront, O Lord God, those things that have tainted us, those things that have been embedded in us, O Lord God, that did not bring glory and honor to you. Holy Spirit, bring it to the forefront, O Lord God, that we may deal with these things, God, and that we may be a better example of Jesus the Christ in the earth. In Jesus' name we pray, and we count this prayer as done by faith. It is so, and so it is in Jesus' name. Amen and amen and amen. Amen. So as we just begin to look at some things on tonight, there are a couple of scriptures, actually, that I wanted to kind of touch base on. One of them, of course, is coming from the book of Matthew. Those of you that have your Bibles or have your Bibles handy can get them. If you could get turn with me to Matthew, we want to look at Matthew, the 18th chapter, a very familiar passage of scripture. Matthew, the 18th chapter, and we want to look at verses 15 through verses 17, particularly. Okay, Matthew 18, we want to look at start with verse 15, and we want to go through verse 17. So those of you who have your Bible, all right? And the word of God says this: Moreover, if thy brother shall trespass against thee, go and tell him his fault between thee and him alone. If he shall hear thee, thou hast gained thy brother. But if he will not hear thee, then take with thee one or two more that is in the mouth of two or three witnesses every word may be established. And if ye shall neglect to hear them, or if he shall neglect to hear them, tell it unto the church. But if he neglect to hear the church, let him be unto thee as a heathen man and a publican. And so as we just begin to look at forgiving others and how to forgive, we know that the Bible says in the 15th verse that, moreover, if thy brother shall trespass against you, go to him and tell him about what he has done. We know that the Bible tells us that we are supposed to forgive, even as Christ forgave you, so ye ought to also forgive others their trespasses. And we have an issue in the body of Christ with really, really forgiving. We say out of our mouths, we'll say out of our mouths that we forgive, but our actions are far from it. Our actions are far from it. So what we have to learn to do is begin to align ourselves in action, align that with what's actually coming out of our mouth. So it's actually learning how to forgive. And so this particular scripture tells us that when our brother has wronged us, when somebody has done an offense against us, this is what the actions that are supposed to be taken in order to get that thing remedied, in order to rectify that situation, if you will. This is what the scripture is so bluntly telling us, but we have a problem. We have a problem in following this particular mandate. It is God's purpose. It is God's purpose for us to forgive. God desires that we forgive. The Bible talks about how we are supposed to have a spirit of reconciliation, that reconcilement should be on the forefront of our mind, trying to make amends with things when we have a disagreement with people, trying to make amends with that. But we don't find that very often in the body of Christ. We don't find that at all, actually, in the body of Christ. But forgiveness is something that God wants us to learn how to initiate. We tend to be people who will turn away from going forward. We tend to be people who will turn away from confronting, is the word I'm looking for, confronting situations. We have a problem with that because the enemy, and it is the enemy, has kind of built up in our mind how that thing is going to play out. And as opposed to us coming against that and casting down those imaginations, we actually let the enemy have a field day in our mindset, and we tend to allow what the enemy has played out in our minds to be truth. But again, we want every lie to roll back and truth to come forward. So if God's word tells you that if you have an ought against your brother or sister, you're supposed to go to him, why is it that we not do that? Why is it that we assume a lot of things in the body of Christ? And that's our own man. We make assumptions. We try to analyze what a person is thinking, and we haven't addressed the issue so far. And that's why we have a lot of church hopping in today. That's why we have a lot of people in the body of Christ not speaking. That's why we have a lot of issues going on. And we have to learn how to confront issues. We have to learn how to confront issues so that forgiveness can come, and so that how can two walk together except they agree? Amen. And so it's a lot of entities involved in this when we start talking about forgiveness and learning how to forgive, and what are the what are we supposed to do when we start talking about forgiving. Jesus instructs us in the body of Christ. He tells us, he instructs his followers to forgive as God forgave them. Again, we just want to reiterate that. So God forgave you and I'm sure if some of us sat down and wrote down some of the stuff that God had to forgive us for, it would not even surpass what somebody has done to us. We try to blow up, you know, we try to blow up everything that people do to us. We try to make it this humongous, horrific thing, and we try to minimize. We try to minimize, you know, what we do. And that's not what God would have us to do. The Lord's desire for us is that we learn how to be in agreement, that there be a cohesiveness in the body of Christ, that there be unity. Ephesians talks about until we all come into the unity of faith, and we are so far from unity. When I think about all of the things that are going on in our societies, when I think about the signs, miracles, and wonders that we want to take place in the body of Christ, and there's so much strife in the body of Christ, there's so much unforgiveness in the body of Christ, and I'm just wondering if that's the reason why the signs, miracles, and wonder cannot germinate. They cannot come forward because of the fact that we're not in unity. And I just think that it's something that we really, really, as a people of God, we really need to sit down and begin to look at that and begin to learn how to call people and talk. And Let me just say this. You don't call people with an accusatory disposition. You know, call them with your attitude. You know what I'm saying? Presentation is beautiful. It's a beautiful thing. How you present yourself to them. You know, did I do something to offend you because I noticed thus and so, or this is what happened. We have to learn how to confront situations and confront situations in a manner of which is going to bring glory and going to bring honor to the Lord our God. We got so much. We're dripping with attitude. We're dripping with bitterness. We just drip with it. You know, I grew up in a time and a place where, you know, telling people off and this is what I'm going to do to them and things of that nature. You know, we were tough, you know, but that's my old man. That's my old man. That has no place with the renewed person that's in me. That has no place in me now because I've been renewed. Old things have passed away, and behold, all things have become new. And we keep trying to hold on to the old man and still trying to say we're a new man. Come on, somebody. We've got to let go of that old man. We can't be a people, you know, who's still trying to say, girl, they know how I am. That's just how I am. I've been like this all my life. What? You've been like that all your life, but I thought you was born again. So if you've been born again, that all your life stuff, something got to die. And we've got to begin to mortify this flesh. We've got to begin to mortify this flesh and its members. And his members, so that God can be glorified, so that God can be enlarged in us. Amen. Forgiveness is an action that Jesus wanted us to do. And as we begin to look, can we just turn with me? I know that we're in the book of Matthew, but I want you to hold it right there. And if you will, turn with me to Luke 4. Go with me to Luke, the fourth chapter, I believe. Hold on. Yeah, let's look at Luke 4. Please forgive me. Luke 4. Let's go. Let's start with Luke 4. Let me see. Luke 4. I got it there. And I want to just begin to look at chapter 4, starting with verse 14. Starting with verse 14, Luke 4. And Jesus returned in the power of the Spirit into Galilee and went out his fame throughout all the region. And he taught in their synagogues, being glorified by all. And he came to Nazareth, where he had been brought up. And his custom was he went into the synagogue. Now, this is the one where he goes in and he begins to tell them that the Spirit of the Lord is upon him to, and he has anointed him to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captive and the covering of sight to the blind, to set at liberty all them that are bruised, to preach the acceptable year of the Lord. And he closed the book, and that this is the day that he said that the scripture is going to be fulfilled. There are some things that should be happening in us when Jesus began his teaching ministry in the town. There were some things that's supposed to be happening with us. And in none of this do you see him saying about unforgiveness. And none of this do you see him saying, you know, about harboring resentment. So when we begin to look at this scripture, if we substitute forgiveness into forgiveness for the words release and free, Jesus told them in effect, though that's who I am. I am anointed. Forgiveness is my work. So what he's talking about, he's to set them free, he's talking about he has to forgive them. Some forgiveness has to come in order for these things to take place. Amen. I hope you can see that with me. There are some things that he's saying that he needed to do, but he's gonna forgive them so that the brokenhearted can be healed. He's gonna forgive them so that recovering of sight is blind. Because whether we want to admit it or not, sickness is due to sin. And so in order for these sins and things to be eradicated and alleviated, he has to first forgive. So if Jesus, being the Christ and the Lord in our example, is showing us that he forgives in order that this happens, we have to forgive too. Do we understand that when we hold unforgiveness in our heart, we're actually holding somebody captive? Now, how is it that you're going to be like Christ and you're trying to hold a person captive by not forgiving them when Jesus said that he was sent to set the captives free? Oh, I done blessed myself. I done blessed myself. Yeah. And so we've got to begin to understand that unforgiveness holds a person in bondage. And it's your own selfish reasons that you're holding a person in bondage. You know, somebody can come to you. I remember growing up, and my mother would say something, have a disagreement with somebody, a friend of hers, and they would come to her and they say, you know, Vi, my mother's nickname was Vi, I want you to forgive me. And my mama would say, okay, I forgive you, but I'm never going to forget it. Those two don't go together. Those two don't go together. And I, in turn, grew up telling people, how many of you listening, that's been your mantra? I forgive you, but I'll never forget it. Whereas Christ, the Word of God, the Father tells us, Abba Father tells us that when we sin, he'll cast our sins into the sea of forgetfulness where they'll never rise against us. Now, I can definitely say to you that that's a area in my life or my maturity in God that I'm getting to. I want God to help me to forgive a person to the point that I actually forget about it. I know that we try to, like, downplay it, if you will, and we say, you know, God will take the sting out of it, or he'll take it out so that it won't hurt anymore. But how many of us were willing to let God get it to a point where it's in the sea of forgetfulness, and we'll never let it rise against that person again? My God, my God. That's the maturity level that God wants us to work towards. He wants us to work towards a way where we don't hold resentment and bitterness. And we went over bitterness a week or so ago with Nothing But the Truth. We talked about bitterness and how to get past some bitterness in our lives. And so when we get past it, in order for us to get past the things, we've got to learn how to forgive. And we've got to learn how to forgive as Christ would have us to forgive. Jesus took our infirmities. He loved us so much that he took our infirmities or he took our sins and had them nailed to the cross. He stood in the place of us so that we wouldn't have to receive the penalty for our sin. And we can't even take being uncomfortable to get to a place of forgiveness. Are you understanding that? We don't even want to, you know, want to be uncomfortable. We feel like, you know, forgiveness is a weakness. We feel like forgiveness is a weakness. It's a sign of weakness. Come on, somebody. We feel like that. You know, I can't let nobody use me. And I remember distinctly the Lord telling me, I said that, and I said it with such a surety. And the Spirit of the Lord spoke to me and said, nobody can use you. Nobody can take advantage of you. Nobody. Why? Because I've already handled that situation, and that whatever happens to you, understand that I allowed it to happen to you. Understand that. And so as we begin to talk about forgiveness, as we begin even in looking at our scripture on today, where it talks about setting them free, are releasing them, and we're going to replace the word for forgiveness. We're going to substitute forgiveness for every word that it says that he sent to release them. Forgiveness is a work. Forgiveness is the work of the anointed one. Jesus has already came to give us the intent, to give us what we need in order to be able to forgive, and to forgive and erase it. God's desire is for us to erase unforgiveness. And so as we're talking about this, you know, we have to begin to look at what is it that we need to do when somebody has offended us. What is it that we need to do? I remember the scripture that says, great peace have they that love your law, and nothing shall offend them. Great peace have they that love your law, and nothing shall offend them. Because I had this thing where, you know, I didn't want to say unforgiveness. I didn't want to say that somebody had wronged me or whatever. And so I would say, you know, I thought that being able to say that offended me was better.
And then the Holy Spirit began to show me, I'm glad you said that. Let's talk about that, that they offended you. How is it that you love my law and they were able to come in and offend you? When my word says, great peace have them that love my law, and nothing shall offend them. And so we have to begin to go back and begin to look at the word of God and stop letting offense come up, stop letting unforgiveness be a place or have place in us in the body of Christ. We have to begin to look at it and begin to deal with it in the manner of which Christ would have us to forgive, have us to do so. And so as we begin to look at the scripture also in the book of Luke where, you know, he says that he has anointed us, that we've been anointed. God has anointed you to be able to forgive if you will allow him. And there's a key as well. Giving place, submitting unto God and giving place to the Holy Spirit to be able to come in and help you to forgive somebody. Have you ever had a problem with somebody and you were holding on to it? You were holding on because you felt justified. Mm-hmm. Yeah, we feel justified when we feel like we can hold on to unforgiveness. But again, that's putting a person in bondage. And so we feel like we're justified in our unforgiveness. And then when you come and you talk about it with the person and the release, that feeling of release, you can literally feel the release that Satan's teeth have just been pulled because he does not have anything to bite and hold on to any longer. Isn't that a beautiful thing? That's a beautiful thing. And so as we begin again to look at that, we have to understand that that is what God would help us to do. Forgiveness is God's gift to all mankind. God offers forgiveness without restriction to the entire human family. So when we begin to look at the story back in the book of Luke, forgiveness begins in Jerusalem, and we see God, Christ, even as he starts his journey, forgiving sin. That was one of the things that the Pharisees had a problem with, you know, when he was telling people, you know, your sins are forgiven you. They took offense to that. Who are you? Who are you that you can forgive somebody's sins? And Jesus was like, well, you know, would you have me to say it another way? You know, which way would you have me to say it? And either way, the person is going to be free and released from that very thing that had bound them. And so we have to begin to understand, my God, I hear the Spirit saying that forgiveness should be our ministry. We should have a ministry of forgiving others when they wronged us, when something has taken place. And it doesn't even matter if they wronged us. If they feel like we've wronged them, still go and rectify. Still go and make amends of that situation. Even if you feel like you've done nothing wrong. Ooh, gotta download. That's what Jesus did. He went to the cross, and he had done nothing wrong. Oh, my God, to glory. He had done nothing wrong. So we want to be Christ-like. We got to take some blows for somebody else. Oh, this is blessing me. We've got to take some blows from somebody else because we want to be Christ-like, and we want to. We want to learn how to forgive. So back in our scripture in Matthew 18 chapter, it says, moreover, if thy brother shall trespass against thee, go tell him his fault between thee and him alone. And if he shall hear thee, then thou hast gained thy brother. Now, here's the thing. If your brother has offended you, go to your brother, you and him alone. And what do? When our brother offends us, we call our girlfriend and we set up our case. We set up our case. Girl, let me tell you, and this is what I did, and this is what I did. And then they did that, and I don't even understand. And this is what I did. We're trying to set up a case against the person So we didn't tell that person, and then we called somebody else. And then, you know, while we're doing that, the enemy is being a busybody in that whole routine of things, and he's causing discord. You're adding fuel to a fire, and then it gets to be an inferno, and then you don't even know how to put the fire out. But the scripture says if we would have handled it the way the word of God says. And the word of God says, moreover, if thy brother shall trespass against thee, go to thy brother. Right there we need to repent. Right there we need to repent, because that's not how we did it. We went to everybody else. We talked about it behind their backs. We tried to fuel it, fan the flame, if you will, so that we could get people on our side. Come on, somebody. And so, but the Bible says that you were to first go and tell your brother, and let it be between you and him alone. And then if he hears you, you've gained your brother. That would squash a whole lot of problems in the body of Christ. But we get offended, and we leave with an attitude without even trying to get to the person to talk to them. We want to tell everybody else about it. You know what I'm saying? And we have to get to a place whereas we are allowing God to do what he needs to do. The church leaders need to fully embrace and practice the scriptural principle, and it would eliminate many devices or many diverse problems in the church. If we would just learn, we could stop a whole lot of divide. We could stop having this group against that group and whatever. If we would just learn how to address problems in the beginning, if we would learn how to do that. So it says that it's an order to the thing, that if that doesn't work, then he gives you a step two. And the step two is, but if he would not hear thee, then take with thee one or two more, that in the mouths of two or three witnesses every word may be established. And so you get somebody. Now look, don't go get people who you feel like is just going to be on your side. Hello, somebody. The people that you go get are supposed to be people who are astute in the word. Somebody who is going to be able to say, but the word of God says. Not somebody that's going to be on your side and build your case, and then they got somebody to build their case. That's not coming to any kind of an agreement. You need somebody, and bless myself, you need somebody who's astute in the word. Somebody who can stand neutrally with God's word in hand to listen at each side and to be able to hold both of you accountable to the word. That my word, come on, he said, but two or three more that in the mouth of two or three witnesses, every word may be established. I would go further to say the word of God may be established, because whatever brought this division, it didn't come because you all were walking in agreement with the word. It came because somebody fell off. Hello, somebody. And so we want to bring the word in this so that we can get back on point, get back on track, and we can begin to walk together in agreement. Amen. Oh, my God, my God. And so he goes on to say, and if he shall neglect to hear them, tell it unto the church. Why? Because you told them the word. Most of the times we go to people, we tell them our opinions, the two or three witnesses that came, telling them their opinion, telling them what they think, you know, and there's no godly wisdom in it. You know what I'm saying? The word is not the basis of the information that's being given. And so as opposed to being a help, you know, it really, really was a deterrent. And so we want to make sure, again, that we have somebody who's given us the word, and that the person who's given us the word, that if they're neglecting the word, see, they're neglecting the word. They're not so much neglecting the person, but they're neglecting God's word. I think that we need to understand that. They're neglecting God's word. And if they're neglecting God's word, then you want to take them before the church and say, okay, they're not doing what the word of God says. Not your opinion, not what you thought, you know, not how your mud deal would have handled it, but what does the word of God say? My God, my God, my God. What does the word of God say concerning that particular situation or concerning that particular offense that has taken place? And so if they don't follow the word, then you want to take them before the church. And then if they still want to neglect the word, all of this has to do with the word. And they still don't want to come into agreement with the word, then it says that you are to cut them off. You know, it says, and if he shall neglect to hear them, tell it unto the church. But if he neglect to hear the church, let him be unto thee as an heathen, a man, a heathen man, and a publican. Let them be as somebody who is in the world, somebody who's not even in the household of faith. And so we want to begin to, as we look at this, and as we're talking about this, we definitely want to make sure that we're doing it according to God's word. And so find somebody to talk to, but not just somebody to talk to, but find somebody who is a student of word and not going to give you their opinion, but they're going to tell you what the word of God says. Not to build a case against the person or to feel justified in your own offensiveness, but to be able to say, let the word roll back every lie and let the truth of God come forward. The correct principle is to go to your brother first and foremost privately and tell him honestly what happened, why you felt like they offended you, why the relationship is in jeopardy, and that kind of thing, and then let the word come in and do what the word needs to do. And so if we handle forgiveness in the manner that God intended, that the result will usually bring peace. Peace is possible. Peace is possible, but we definitely got to handle it the way the word of God says. The word says to live peaceably with all men if possible. If the other person refuses to forgive or if they refuse to stop their destructive behavior, we can still be set free from our own resentment and receive God's forgiveness. Now, that's the key, too, because if they refuse to, don't feel like you've won. Don't get that pious attitude like, you know, I won, I was right, you know, I'm the winner. There was no winner in that particular situation. Hello, somebody. Why? Because you didn't come into agreement. And reconciliation is supposed to be our mantra. And so you step back from it for a while. You let some things happen. You go into prayer. God, praying diligently for that person that they'll be restored. Hello, somebody. Oh, my God, my God. Praying for them because there was no winner. The ultimate resolution of all human problems comes from God. If we say, I'll give up bitterness when I have resolution with George, then George becomes an idol to us. We don't supposed to wait for bitterness to go until we forgive. And wouldn't it be a good thing if we learn how to, forgive before? If we learn how to forgive before we even go and address it, we have it in our mind that I'm going to forgive or I'm going and I've already forgiven. That would alleviate so much of our problem if we would learn how to go to a person with a mindset of forgiveness, not with the mindset, again, that I need to justify myself. Bitterness places us in bondage to the one we are bitter at. Remember I talked about unforgiveness. You're trying to hold a person in bondage. And God said he came. Christ said he came to set those who are in bondage, set them free, to release those who are bound. And so we want to be the one who learn how to set them free. Spiritual freedom and forgiveness, it should be the outcome, and it should be our effort to reconcile with another person, whatever it takes to reconcile with them. And the whatever it takes to reconcile with them is whatever it takes for you to get stuff out of you. Whatever needs to be removed from you, my God, to be able to talk to them. I can remember having a disagreement with someone and felt like most of our answers or most of our remedy we think of forgiving a person is to just not go around them. That's why we have people leaving churches. may feel like, well, you know, I'm not going to let this bother me. But we leave the church and we actually leave things unresolved. And so I left and went on about my business and felt like, you know, everything was okay. And God began to tell me, no, you didn't forgive. You walked away. Walking away from a situation does not denote forgiveness. Hello, somebody. Because we feel like out of sight, out of mind. But God is still holding us accountable. Hello, somebody. He's still holding us accountable to forgive that person. And so things kept popping up. Situation kept popping up where that person's name kept coming before me, and, you know, when it would come before me, I would discount it or I would cast it down because I didn't want to think about it because out of mind, my play was, you know, out of mind, out of sight, out of mind. But the Holy Spirit kept bringing them to the forefront because the Holy Spirit was saying, you need to deal with this. Hello, somebody. And so I began to go and try to remedy it, to make amends with that thing. And the person was not accepting of what I was trying to do. My olive branch kept getting broken. I was extending the olive branch, and they was taking it and breaking it. And I was like, okay, God, what am I supposed to do? And the Holy Spirit said, what did Christ do? Christ didn't stop. What is the song, right? He did not come down from the cross to save himself, but he decided to suffer and save me. We've got to go beyond. We've got to press past a place of being comfortable with the situation, to be made uncomfortable if that's what it's going to take to reconcile. If that's what it's going to take to reconcile, God will give opportunity for you to remedy that thing, but you have to be willing to be the conduit that God can use in order for reconciliation to take place. You can't just because you get uncomfortable. How many people have you heard say, you know, well, I tried to make it right, and okay, try again. Uh-huh. What does the scripture say? It says, how many times should I forgive my brother for a sin, for a fault? Huh? 7 times? And Jesus said, no, 70 times 7. However many times it takes for you to get that thing right, I adjure you, and I know I'm talking to somebody, I adjure you to get it right. Get it right. Be made uncomfortable in order to get that thing right. And so we've got to begin to look at it. Again, the scripture says, how often do we forgive? Matthew 18:21-22. Then came Peter to him, saying, Lord, how often shall I forgive my brother who sins against me? How many times? Till 7 times. And Jesus said unto him, I say not unto thee until 7 times, but until 70 times 7. Jesus said, forgiveness is a moment-by-moment occurrence. A moment-by-moment occurrence. With every breath, we are to forgive others and, of course, ourselves. Each minute of the day, we are to forgive the same person for the same offense. Forgive them and then release them. Don't hold them bondage to whatever it is that they've done. Don't hold them bondage, but release them. Remember, we want to be like Jesus. And Jesus said that he's anointed me to set the captives free. Set them free. My God. Set them free. Oh, rigadiata. Set them free. So on tonight, as we begin to look at setting them free, Jesus said forgiveness is the moment by moment. Forgive them, then release them. If we don't, we give the strong man of bitterness a chance to come in and begin to build his stronghold on us. Our bodies are to be the temple of God, not Satan's stronghold. The first spirit of bitterness sins to accuse us of the breach in our relationship is unforgiveness. The first spirit bitterness sins to accuse us of the breach in our relationship is unforgiveness. We must forgive. It's imperative, people of God, that we learn how to walk in forgiveness. And what I like is the fact that the author talks about it's a moment-by-moment experience. It's a moment-by-moment experience. I've had so many people tell me, you know, I can't keep doing it. That's when we start saying, well, they just using me. They taking advantage of my kindness. They think my kindness is weakness. No, your kindness is strength. Your kindness is a strength. And be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. And so let God do it. Let God help you to be able to get past. Forgiveness is not about how we feel. It's about what we choose to do. Forgiveness is a choice. And it's not a choice that should be available, or it's not a choice that should be dictated by how we feel. Oh, I feel like I can forgive you today. I feel like forgiving somebody today. Like we the governor. We the governor. We gonna forgive you of what you did and set you free. But that's not our place. Our place is just to forgive. Oh, I hope I'm blessing somebody on today. Our place is to forgive and not allow the enemy to rehash that thing. Don't allow the enemy to go up and start stirring up all of your old hurts and wounds and when people did something to you. You know, that's the problem. We, again, casting it into the sea of forgetfulness. We wanna make records of the wrong. Come on. What does it say in 1 Corinthians 13? Love does not keep record of the wrongs that people have done. You shouldn't be sitting down, okay, on this date, on such and such a time, I forgave you. And then here, if you look at my records, you did it again on such and such a date at such and such a time. You know what I'm saying? We cannot keep record of the wrongs that people do. We have to let love cover it. Let the love of God in us cover it. Hallelujah, Jesus. And so as we begin to have we look at the scripture a little more closely, we must learn to separate the person from their sin, just as God separated us from our sins, and he forgave us, and he forgave us. Amen. We have to learn how to separate. We have to learn how to forgive people in spite of what they did, however many times they've done it. We've got to learn how to be able to say, God, I will to forgive. It's my desire to forgive this person. You know what I'm saying? And I choose to forgive them because your word told me to. And thy word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against you. And if I don't forgive them, that's sin. It's sin to me. And so I've got to learn how to forgive. Amen. If we confess our sin, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sin and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. So we have to learn how to do the same. If he can forgive us as quickly as we want God to forgive us, that's how quick we should forgive somebody else. Man, if we could hold that as a mantra in our life, I think it would be a much better, the body of Christ would be much healthier. If we could just learn that as quickly as we want God to forgive us, that's how quick we should forgive those who offend us or who've wronged. A privilege. We can start letting that be a mantra in our life. I think that just again begin to talk about forgiveness. Forgiveness. Satan's job is to always sow a seed of division and discord. Wants us to learn how to do. He wants us to learn how to forgive. Try to replay in your head what that person did. Casting down that replay starts, we have to begin to understand that we have the remote in our hand to turn it off. Turn off the VCR. Turn off begin to say to yourself when it pops up, God, you forgave me. I'm so happy. And I thank you, oh Lord God, for giving me the strength. Placing God. Matthew 18:34-35 says that we are to forgive, be turned over to tormentors if we don't learn how to forgive in our hearts. If we forgive from our hearts, the emotional pain from past hurt will be gone. And we have to learn how to forgive. Amen. You know, okay, I forgive you. You know, have you ever heard somebody tell you they forgive you and they kind of smacking their lips and rolling their eyes and, you know, you for them to say that? It's a struggle. I forgive you. Forgive out of our mouth. We have to learn not just to forgive. And it was from there that we word is that we need to make our rights, make some things right before God. And so as you begin to look at that, as you begin to get it right. You know, unforgiveness, I was sharing with the class, I said, when we give us our debts, we forgive our debtors, or another trespass against us. Forgive us our trespasses as we forgive who have trespassed. But we don't want to forgive. And we tie God's hand. We tie God's hand. We're sick in our bodies. We're wondering why. Because we've given place to the enemy. On today, as the ministry of the Holy Spirit is doing what he does, as he's bringing to your mindset, to forgive. It doesn't matter who did it, who started, how it started. What matters is that the spirit of reconciliation is released in that area of your life. Who is it? Name is the Holy Spirit bringing to your mind. This is an area that you need to go and you need to remedy this. And you go in the spirit of meekness. Don't go in the spirit of pride. Go in the spirit of meekness. Go with the mindset of already forgiving them. I'm reminded in the book of Jacob and Esau. Remember in the scripture when Jacob and Esau, they were supposed to meet each other, and Jacob started figuring out, okay, this is what I'm going to do. I'm going to take out all this stuff. Esau gets to me and my family, you know, he'll be ready to forgive me. But what he didn't understand was that Esau, when he came, Esau already had the mindset that he was going to forgive his brother. And that made it that much more easy. Go to the person with the mindset, God has forgiven me, so I forgive you. Go with that mindset. And then you will be able to talk it out. You will be able to come into an agreement. And watch this. And you will be able to be. That made you bound, held you captive. You held yourself captive. My God. Oh, my God. What you think of a person who is literally handcuffed? Watch this. They tell you, I'm handcuffed. And then you look at the handcuffs and you say, you've been held captive to something that you could have been free from. That's what I'm beginning to do. You're holding your own self captive to something you can be released of. And all things you need to do is forgive. So I adjure you, brothers and sisters who are listening to me on this radio audience, on this Block Talk Radio, I adjure you on tonight to the people who God is bringing to your God is bringing to go and make some things right. I adjure you on tonight that you begin to forgive again. Go to them with the mindset that you've already forgiven them. Go to them with the mindset that God's desire is for you to forgive and for them to be free. Go to them with the mindset that he has anointed you to bring release to those who are in bondage. Go to them with the ministry of Jesus Christ. we begin to just go forward and looking at, you know, why we should forgive. As we just begin to pray out on tonight, as we begin to pray out on tonight and reflect why we should forgive, and looking at some things that Christ has done, that he took some things to the cross, you would be able to forgive. Hallelujah, God. So, Father God, in the name of Jesus Christ, Lord, we thank you first, Father, for your Spirit. We thank you for the Holy Spirit that has listed and given us some names, some relationships, some situations that we need to go and rectify. We come on tonight, God, repenting because we did not do it the way you told us to do it. We held people in bondage. We felt like we could captive to our way of thinking, oh, Lord God. And we come on tonight asking that you would forgive us, oh, Lord God. Forgive us, oh, God, even as we release them from this bondage, God. We pray now, God, that you would give us the mindset to walk in forgiveness, oh, Lord God. Give us the mindset to cast this sin in the sea of forgiveness where it will never arise against them or against us again, God. Oh, in the name of Jesus Christ, God. God, your word, we want to hide it in our hearts, God, that we might not sin against you. We don't want to sin against you by holding offense, by holding unforgiveness, oh, Lord God. We thank you for your word, oh, Lord God. We thank you for your word, God, that came to make us free, oh, Lord God. We thank you for your word, oh, God, that has come to heal us, oh, God. Thank your word on tonight, oh, God, in the name of Jesus Christ, oh, Lord God. Your word is a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our path, oh, God. God, light the pathway to forgiveness in the name of Jesus Christ. So we honor you on tonight, God. We honor you on tonight, God, as we release the spirit of reconciliation, God. We honor you on tonight, oh, God, as we forgive. Even as you so loved the world that you gave your only begotten Son, God, we thank you for it now. God, we bless you, we honor you, and we thank you the more. In the mighty, matchless name of Jesus, we pray, and we count this prayer as done by faith. It is so. What is in Jesus' name? And be free. And may God's greatest and may God's best be yours. Good night, everybody.